Thanks, Libby and Emma Jane. My name's Lee. If you don't know me, I'm one of the ministers here. Hello to those who are online. It's great to gather together for Compassion Sunday. And I want to begin today by talking about Mary, not Jesus' mum, but Mary we met 2 years ago when we went to Tanzania to visit the children that many of you guys sponsor through Compassion. Mary was our trip leader. She worked for Compassion. She looked after us, answered all our questions, organized transport, translated, all those sort of things. She was amazing. To be honest, I can only speak for myself, and I'm like ashamed to admit it, but the two times I've gone over to Tanzania, as much as we were discouraged from thinking these sort of things, you know, that I was a better Christian now crept into my thinking. You know, God must be super impressed with me because I was going on a trip like that. Told you it was embarrassing. Anyway, I'm so thankful that I got to meet Mary, because through getting to know her, those sort of self-righteous feelings I had were flown from Tanzania to NASA, tied to a rocket, launched into outer space, and sucked into a black hole. It's probably not true. I'm going to struggle with those thoughts again. But Mary worked for Compassion in Tanzania. She was one of the many Christians who worked on the ground, supporting the children we sponsor, checking on how they were going socially, academically, healthily, and spiritually. When I began sponsoring, again, if I'm honest, I reckon I was just somewhat thoughtlessly chucking money at these children because that's what our church does. Probably should do it. I work here. I've got to do it right. But Mary, she was in the thick of it. You know, she stepped into the mess of these children's lives. She was there for abused and abandoned children, for teenage mums left on the street, for families who had lost all hope, for communities scraping to survive. And the more I spoke with Mary, the more I got to know her and the life she lived, the more I saw Jesus' heart shining through her. The fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit of the Spirit, love, was overpouring in Mary's life. One Sunday on our trip 2 years ago, she invited us to her church, which, talk to any of the team members, was a fun experience. It was really good. And then we invited her and her family to lunch afterwards. And she said something along the lines of, oh, I've got a pretty big family, you know. Is it okay if they come? And talking to her, we found out that as well as providing for her own, I think, four children, living in her home were several orphans and other kids coming and going all the time. To be honest, I don't know if anyone knows the exact amount or kept track of how many children she was looking after, opening her family to. But we got to meet a few of them at this lunch. And just Mary's life was just so beginning to challenge the way, you know, I was living my life as a Christian. And then we found out about the T-shirts. And honestly, I think most of us were brought to tears about these T-shirts. She began telling us how she made a T-shirt every now and then. And I'm like, that's cool. Like, what sort of T-shirts do you make, Mary? She says, just T-shirts that have Jesus loves you or, you know, a Bible verse, an encouraging Bible verse on the T-shirt. And what do you do with these T-shirts? And she said that she prints or takes one at a time into a prison and gives it to an inmate there. And I was like, why? Not why do you do that, but why one shirt at a time? Like, why only one shirt? And she said, and I was a little bit embarrassed that we'd asked that, but because that's all I can afford. You know, I save up what I earn, and about once a month, I make that T-shirt and take it for a prisoner. You know, as a brother in Christ who knows the same love of Jesus, and I just sat there, I think we all did, just gobsmacked. You know, I thought sponsoring a few children Dipping into my savings to help children in poverty was generous, was love, but she was using all her savings, what little she had, to love children in poverty, to give orphans a home, to give prisoners hope. She spared nothing. And she reminds me of the widow in Luke 21. You know that widow who puts her 2 copper coins into the temple treasury? The only 2 coins to her name. That's who Mary reminded me of. But why? Like, why spare nothing? It seems almost foolish. You know, for crying out loud, just keep a bit for yourself, Mary. What if you need it down the track? You need some financial security, surely. Why? What compels a person to be so extravagant, so generous? Well, Mary kept telling us it was because of the gospel. Because Jesus spared nothing for her. She knew that deep down. I imagine that her heart knows verses like this very intimately. Have a look at the verse up there. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. This is true love. This is the seed and the soil for every Christian. This is your foundation. This is your life. Mary is someone who knows deep down the love of God, that he sent his son to die for her. That has been deeply implanted into her heart. You know, think about someone like Mary. You know, I can imagine it'd be so easy for someone like her to think she was nothing, worthless, forgotten, you know, growing up in such a poor country, especially as a woman. But she knows she is so precious to God, so loved, that he gave up his only son for her. And that has changed everything for her. That's why she's got such a big heart for people who are forgotten and worthless in so many people's eyes. Children, orphans, and prisoners. Preparing to talk on love, we talk about it all the time. I found this really hard. We talk about it so much, it becomes old news. You know, is God's love precious to you? Is it precious to you? Is it as precious as it used to be when you were first struck by it? When you hear that God loves you, what's your knee-jerk reaction? Oh, yeah. Or, of course he loves me. Who doesn't? Or maybe you think, I don't know. Maybe if he knew everything about me, everything I've done, every thought I've had, that secret I could never voice to anyone, if he really knew me, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't love me. The truth is, God loves you and me. And the way you know his love is by looking at the cross, where Jesus died for you and me. Have you ever wondered? You probably haven't. This is so silly. I'm sorry. But have you ever wondered why God didn't just send us a box of chockies and a card? You know, I love you. Some chocolate. Well, if he did that, then we could get away with thinking, you know, of course God loves me. I'm amazing. Thanks, God. When I get to heaven, I'll pay you back. But he didn't give us chockies and a card. He gave his life for us. He died because we've treated him with such contempt. We've all pushed him out of the picture. We ignore and disregard him. Dane Ortlund, in his book Gentle and Lowly, writes, "If sin were the colour blue, we do not occasionally say or do something blue. All we say, do and think has some taint of blue." There's nothing we've done to merit God's love. Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You know, God loves us at our worst. God's son on a cross shows just how desperate, helpless, and needy we really are. But if you're someone who thinks, yeah, I get that, but if God really knew me, there's no way he'd want anything to do with me. If you have those thoughts, and honestly, I have those thoughts sometimes, as politely as possible, I want to say you are so, so wrong. Jesus dying for you and me also shows how precious we are. It shows how desperate and broken and helpless we are, but it shows how precious we are as well. That no matter how poorly we treat God, how far we've strayed in our hearts, we are loved by him. That God sent his son to die for us allows no room for thinking that we're not infinitely loved and precious to God. And it's that sort of radical and reckless love that I imagine Mary saying, if that's how much God has loved me, how can I not spare everything for the people around me who are in such need? How can I not give every cent? You know, the logic is simple. God loves, we love. It's love that has been planted in our hearts, and so the fruit we bear must be love. It's what we should be known for as individuals and as a church. But it's the nature of that love that is not so simple. The love language is sacrifice. And laying down our lives for our brothers and sisters is difficult and costly. The Bible is pretty clear that loving those in poverty should be in our spiritual DNA as Christians. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." The Bible doesn't tell us that we just need a spiritual leg up. Jesus didn't come because we were basically good people. We're almost there. We just need a few sins to be paid for and forgiven and then we'll be sweet. No, we're in spiritual poverty. We're trapped in our sin. We cannot do anything about it. We don't just need a little boost and then we can do the rest. We need all our sin forgiven. We need Jesus to lay down his life. Jesus doesn't only offer it to clear our spiritual debt before God, though. It's not just transactional. We need him. He came to be with us. He wants us to call him his brother. He wants his father to be our father. The video that we saw at the start of the service reminds us how important relationship is in addressing people's poverty. And that's what our partnership with Compassion pushes us to do. Not just throw money at them, like I was doing at the start, but embody Jesus and give ourselves, give relationship. And so today, this talk, this Compassion Sunday, isn't designed to make us feel guilty or ashamed before God. I don't believe for a moment that God wants us to wallow in our past mistakes. Playing the comparison game with people like Mary might not be healthy. Now, I believe God wanted us to meet Mary to spur us on. The widow giving her 2 copper coins in the temple is an encouragement to be more generous. And like Maren said, you know, we're known for our generosity. Wardens at our church, ministers, you guys, even people in our community often say All Saints is a generous church. And you know, for me personally, the generosity I've experienced from you guys has been incredible. You know, the money, the time, the hospitality, the friendship, the care, the meals, and so much more has blown me and my family away. We feel so loved by this church. You know, the toys and Tucker hampers for Greenacre that we did the other week, and the children we sponsor are testament to this church's love and generosity. But today, this Compassion Sunday, we want to push ourselves to be more like Christ, to lay down more of ourselves for those in need. Compassion Sunday reminds us that the poor are always among us. There are brothers and sisters of ours in deep need. There are many who God is wanting us to love, not just with words and speech, but with action, words and action. Today we celebrate 10 years of partnership with Compassion Tanzania, but we want to push ourselves to bear more love, more of that fruit. And today we're beginning something new and exciting, which you'll hear from Anton and Maren later. And we're doing this because we want to be more generous. We want to push ourselves. Look what God's love has done to this church. Look how it's inspired you and me, how we've responded to God's love in these 10 years. You know, how exciting to see what we can do in the next 10 years. And so today, ask yourself, how might God's love compel you to greater generosity, greater sacrifice? It might mean sponsoring another child. You know, go to the table and pray. Just, I've noticed recently that often when people say, I'll go away and pray about it, it often means not that at all. It often means I don't want to do it. If you're going to say, go, I'm going to pray about this, pray about it. Commit it before God. Read his word. Like, think about what he's done. Don't just, like, do a budget analysis or something. Go to the table and pray. It might mean writing more letters to your sponsor children. Maybe sitting there thinking, I haven't written to them in a while. Or it might mean putting more thought into what you write to them. It might mean choosing to go on a compassion trip when they happen. I don't know when that'll be. Or sponsoring someone if you can't go, a younger person to go. Talk to Maren. Look, there are so many ways that you can be generous. Talk to me. There are so many people in need. Have a talk to us. But look, it might not even be compassion related. God might be calling you to love others in need just around you, in your family, here at church, a neighbor, someone who might need your care, friendship, time, advice, money, even opening up your home. I don't know. Maybe there's people around you in need. And yeah, it's costly. It's a sacrifice. We're all about making our lives comfortable, but the gospel wants us to do the opposite. When John says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, he's already assuming that we're looking out for each other, that we know each other. I mean, how can we be generous to each other if we don't know what's going on in each other's lives? So get to know each other. Get to know your neighbours. Get to know the person sitting next to you today. You know, we've all got needs. When we know each other deeply, then we can really show the love of Christ. And that's what compassion is seeking to facilitate. Relationships with these children, with these churches. Through sponsoring them, writing and receiving letters, we get to know them and their unique joys and struggles, which informs our prayers and what we write and what we give. So as you prayerfully consider today how you can bear more love in your life, remember how much God has loved you. Meditate on that. If you're thinking it's lost its preciousness to you, if it kind of just washes over you these days, dwell on it. That he laid down his life for you. And we ought to lay down our lives for each other. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for our church. We thank you for how your love has inspired such generosity and love. And God, what an amazing thing, what a beautiful thing it would be if it inspired more sacrifice. That's what our church was known for the way we love one another. God, please, through your Spirit, stir in our hearts. Help us not to be hard-hearted towards your word. Help us to know your love more deeply and to love others more deeply. In Jesus' name, amen.